ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We have been studying the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, first chapter itself. We have completed two sections. First chapter has got six sections, and of which two sections have been completed by us. In the first section, the beautiful description of what is called Adhyarupa and Apavada is being given. But in order to know that each soul is potentially divine, therefore I am also divine, but at this moment, I think I am not divine. How to attain to that? My own infinite, eternal truth, satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma. For that purpose, sadhanas are prescribed. First, the Vedas prescribe rituals, external worship. And gradually, the Vedas introduce part of the external rituals, some what we call nowadays mental worship, manasika pujas. And the purpose of these Vedas is gradually to wean away small children from these concrete aids and slowly make them turn inward. And so they very gradually introduce contemplations called upasanas. So upasanas can be part of the external rituals at the beginning, but later on they can be exclusively mental. So karma kanda, upasana kanda, and which makes the mind fit to enter into the final ascent, which is called jnana kanda. That is the process. So we have seen the first two. Brahmana. Here, let us not forget, Brahmana means a section. So, first chapter, chapter means adhyaya, Brahmana means a section. So, the first section has got only two mantras, wherein is prescribed what we just now were talking about, upasana, highest type of contemplation. I am not an individual. I am Virat Brahma. I am Hiranyagarbha. I am not merely a body-mind complex. I am the entire universe. For that purpose, in those days, they used to do many types of sacrifices called yajnas or yagas. One of them is called Ashva Medha Yajna. And only, as I mentioned, Kshatriyas can do them, because it is very costly ritual, but anyone, everyone can perform mentally. And for that purpose, the first two mantras in this first section of the first chapter prescribe Virat Upasana, but we must have some kind of support for that. Like a baby requires a wooden or a wax, apple, etc. So, a horse is taken. In those days, horse is as popular as today's car. Everybody used to travel, excepting poor people. So, since everybody is familiar with the horse, with all the parts of the horse, now do not look upon the horse as a mere animal, but take each part of the horse as representing one part of the universe, etc. We had discussed that point. Then we came to the second Brahmana. So, the first section
is prescribing Ashva Upasana as Virat Upasana. Ashva is only an alambanam, a support. And the second section deals with Agni Upasana, Agni Brahmana. For that purpose, a confusing statement has been made. How did this Agni, fire, here Agni means Virat Agni, not everyday fire. So Agni Devata, how did this Agni Devata originate? Because creation is an effect. Every effect must originate. So the entire creation is looked upon as Agni, Agni Devata. And this Agni is none other than Virat or Hiranyagarbha or even Ishvara. So, here it says, before creation, naiva kinchit asit mrutyuna eva idam sarvam avrutam asit naiva iha kinchana agre asit. That is how the second section starts. Confusing statement, because there was nothing before creation. And in order to elucidate, Shankaracharya has taken up an elaborate argument to establish Brahman is the original cause, and that Brahman is invisible, unmanifest. And as far as we are concerned, anything that is unmanifest, invisible, is as good as non-existing. So for that purpose, our philosophers, acharyas, and there is a great difference. We should not call them merely philosophers, because there are so many philosophical professors are there. Their life is rotten most of the time. They are bound creatures. Whereas these acharyas, whether it is Nimbarka Acharya, Vallabha Acharya, Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya, Shankaracharya, they were the greatest spiritual sadhakas who attained illumination and were commanded by God to propagate certain types of philosophical views, not because everything is absolute, the final truth, but like a child, a teacher teaches to a child one particular way. When as the child starts growing up, the same teacher or even different teachers start explaining things in a subtler sense, higher sense. So this is how man is taken from the lowest understanding to the highest understanding. What is the lowest understanding? I am an individual. I am just a small person. What is the highest understanding? I am everything. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. I am the infinite. I am the pure consciousness. And I am the only truth. In order to do that, all these upasanas, karmakanda, vidhi nisheda, everything is prescribed. Now, in our experience, we know that everything has an origin. I am the outcome of my parents. They are the outcome of their parents. If you see an ornament, its cause is gold. If you see a furniture, its cause is wood. If you see a pot, its cause is gray. Of course, we have to understand intellectually. We can see the clay, we can see the wood, we can see the gold, but we cannot see the final cause, because it neither has any name, any form, or any utility. Therefore, it says there are two types of manifestations. What is it? I gave the example of if someone comes to you and says, do you have butter? Truthfully, you have to say, yes, I have butter. So, can you lend me some? No, unfortunately, it is there in the milk. I have milk. Butter is there. Everybody knows about it, but it has to be brought out. That unbrought out, unmanifest butter is not useful for transactions. Vyavahara, vyavahari. But only a manifest effect is useful for dealing with. Therefore, vyavahara, transactional, avyavahara, not fit for transactions, non-transactional. So whatever is unmanifest is not fit for transaction. Whatever is manifest alone is fit for transaction. Now that is one part of the argument. The second part is, if you see something existing, existence cannot come out of non-existence. In order to prove that, Shankaracharya had taken up a beautiful intellectual analysis, because there are some rival schools of philosophy who actively deny there was nothing, everything has come out of something. How do you say so, sir? Because your own Upanishad, in the second Brahmana, it says, Naivaiha Kinchana Agre Asit. Agre means before creation of the universe. Na Eva Iha Kinchana. Nothing was there. Not even a little bit. So, that is the proof. Nothing was there. And how did this effect come out? From where did it come out? For that, they weave a lot of webs, like spider weaving a web. That is their belief. I don't know they believe in them, but they are more intellectual than spiritual. So for that purpose, Shankaracharya takes a small example of a pot. If you see a pot, there must be clay. Apply it. If you see this universe, there must be an invisible, unmanifest cause. So that marvelous commentary is called Ghatabhashyam. It is called Ghatabhashyam. Ghata means pot. Because this word ghata or pot is used many times over. And therefore, it is somebody else, not Shankaracharya, has named it as Ghatabhashyam. So, what was the conclusion? That the second section deals with the origin of the fire, Agni Srishti, and it is created from Hiranyagarbha. So, one meditating on this fire as Virat, the physical body of Prajapati or Hiranyagarbha, he becomes one with Virat. So, for that purpose, upasanas are prescribed. So, what it means is, before the creation, this very universe, of which I, you, we are all part of that universe, as we are taking, I am taking classes, I am trying to explain, you are trying to listen, you are trying to understand and make it your own. This is part of the creation, part and parcel of the creation. This universe existed as invisible because it is unmanifest, Hiranyagarbha, or the cosmic mind, just as a pot before it is shaped, exists as clay. So what is manifestation? That which is not fit for transaction is made to be fit for transaction. Clay as a clay, don't take it too much. Just as an illustration, clay as pure clay is practically useless. But the same clay with some help of an instrument and some intelligence can be made into very useful objects, small pots, big pots, square pots, round pots, oblong pots, etc., etc. So if you look into the household, you will understand glasses are made, some for drinking water, some for drinking wine. Peculiar type of glasses are made. The glass which can be used to drink water can as well be used for drinking wine. But no, they want something very elegant, very thin, very beautiful looking. So they'll be hanging there in a wooden rack, upside down. I have seen that. I was shocked, surprised and shocked. But you see, that is the way of the world. We think it will add to the taste. Nothing adds to the taste. So whether you drink water or wine, it is nothing but water and wine only. But some people think it adds to the taste. Like in the costly restaurants, beautiful plates. But sometimes the roadside hotel wala can prepare much tastier food than these big hotels. And they charge you very high for the waiters, with immaculate special dress, and for the plates in which food is served, but food itself may not be that great actually. Anyway, it is just a small illustration. So, we make something to suit our daily transaction, that is called manifest or effect. But every effect must have a cause. So, we have seen Ghatabhashyam. What is the summary? Everything is Brahman. Everything came out of Brahman. And there are a few people who say, we are not intellectuals. We don't want Ghatabhashyam. So, your very Upanishad Brihadaranyaka in this case tells that there was nothing. And you consider this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, every Upanishad, as the supreme authority, straight from the mouth of God, Shruti. So, where is the need for me? There is nothing. If the Upanishad says, there is nothing. We have to understand. Don't get angry. Don't confuse me. Further, Shankaracharya says, you are a stupid, idiotic fool. You are only quoting the first line of the mantra. What does the second line of the mantra tells? Mrutyuna eva idam avrutam asit. First it tells, nothing was there. Second, what is it telling? This entire universe, which it called nothing, was covered by death. Death means the original cause. So what is the logic of this? Covering. Suppose you say, I am going to cover this object. Say a pot. I am going to cover this. Like children will be reading comics, but the parents want to check now and then. So when they open suddenly the door, immediately the boy or girl, it hides the comic inside the blanket and brings out very experts a textbook. Parent is very satisfied. Sometimes they are also intelligent. How did they become intelligent? Because they were doing the same thing when they were children. So they come and yank out the blanket and then find plenty, not one, but plenty of different types of comics. Of course they know, because they are ridden with guilt. This is what we have been cheating our parents. So we have no option now but to cover it. So you just pet the child, baby, you pay attention to your textbooks, examination is coming near, etc., etc. So Shankaracharya says, Mrutyuna eva idam avrutam asit. Mrutyu means death. So nothing, that nothing, which was declared by the same Upanishad in the first sentence, is actually covered by death, cause. Death means cause. Death means Hiranyagarbha. Death means Virat. Death means Ishvara. Another meaning of the death is unmanifest. That is why when a person dies, we say he is dead. But according to Hindu philosophy, he is not dead. He just gave up this covering because this dress has become worn out, not useful for anymore because of old age, disease, lack of energy, etc. So he will be provided for further development with a new piece of dress, which will be very useful. For cooking, you need one kind of dress. For sports, you need another kind of dress. So for attracting somebody, you need another kind of dress or undress, whatever it is. So covering requires two existent things. One thing that should be covered, another thing with which we cover that thing. A non-existent pot cannot be covered by a non-existent cause. What is the conclusion? Both the cause, herein called Mrityu or Karanam, and the effect, this universe, that is, the cause existed before the creation. So, Naivaiha Kinchana Agre Asit means the unimaginable, indescribable Brahman alone existed before creation. That Brahman alone is the manifesting as this universe. This is the essence of the Ghatavashyam. So, here ends the section 2. Now we are entering into the Section 3. As I mentioned earlier, I am not going to go mantra by mantra, but I will definitely give you the very essence of each section, so that even without going through the mantras, we know the very essence of every section, of every chapter. If it is just mere description also, there are some sections like that, especially in the Khila Kandam. I will indicate that one, covering it up very quickly. So, earlier I mentioned three types of upasanas are mentioned in this first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. First was Ashva, second was Agni, and both of them have to be treated as Virat. Third is Prana. Marvelous idea is behind it. We are all called Pranis. Prani means living creature. A living creature means there is a body, there is a mind, and there is a consciousness. These three combinations is called a living body. It is technically called reflected consciousness, Chidabhasa. Just like there is a bright light or the sun shining outside, and the light of that sun is percolating through a small corner of a hole into the room, but a clever person had placed a mirror there, and that mirror is reflecting that entire sunlight, and it is illumining the whole room, however big it is. You know, all the electricity, light and heat both come only from our sun. That is why he is called Brahmaloka or Aditya Loka. He is called Saguna Brahma in every Upanishad practically. That is why every devotee has to pray both standing in front of the rising sun and the setting sun, the famous Gayatri Mantra. May you give me a right understanding. In fact, may you use me as your own instrument. Dhiyo yonaha prachodayat. Literally, drive me, because I do not understand. I don't know the past. I don't know the future. And when I don't know the past and future, the present also is complete ignorance only. So, the third section is called Prana Upasana, contemplation on the Prana. And herein, Prana, without Prana, there would be no life. If I am able to speak in this class, if you are able to listen in this class, it's all because of the Prana. Just imagine, your Prana has become exhausted and it has become very weak. Immediately, you feel like lying down and then restoring the energy by taking rest. So that happens automatically. But sometimes, when you have rested enough, you are full of enthusiasm, full of life. I want to do something. And that doing means manifestation of energy. And that is called manifestation of Prana. And that Prana comes to us in the form of food. Food is nothing but Prana. And food, digestion of the food, digesting the food, means converting that food back. So, the sun's energy becomes gross for people like us, comes to us in the form of food, and we have to reconvert back that food by digesting it properly. That is called energy. And whether it is physical, intellectual, both require energy, tremendous energy, depending upon how much we are doing it. Even a donkey requires tremendous amount of energy for carrying such a huge burden. So, the prana upasana, these are all upasanas meant for us to tell us we are dependent upon the Virat, we are part of the Virat, we are the manifestations of the Virat. Many times when I am speaking, I use these words, Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Mahat, Prajapati, as well as Aditya, the sun, and Ishvara, and Saguna Brahma. You have to understand, synonymously, these are all synonymous words. Even though a slight distinction is made, but they are all one and the same, Saguna Brahma. We can only think of the God with attributes. Without that, it is not possible to know about Him, to think about Him, to describe Him. It is not possible. So, just let me introduce. So, this third section is called Prana Upasana. There are many mantras here. Just as a sample, the very first mantra I am going to talk about, I am going to recite. Dvayaha prajapatyaha devascha asurascha tata kaniyasa eva deva jayasa asuraha te eshu loikeshu aspardhanta teha deva uchuhu hanta asuran anyagna udgithena atyayameti. What it really means is, the very first creation, Brahma, has given birth to both the gods and the demons. What we have to understand, gods means those who are endowed with good qualities, and asura means those who are endowed with the opposite, or in the words of this particular third section. So, some are born with selfishness, and some are endowed with, very rarely, with unselfishness. And unselfishness is preferred. Only unselfish people will be really attaining to the highest happiness. So the equation is selfishness and unhappiness are one and the same. Unselfishness and happiness are one and the same. Many times I have given you the example. I'll give you just two examples. I want to make this essence of these Upanishads as clear, crystal clear as possible. Suppose there is a mother, and let us imagine she has got 4 or 5 children, and then she bestows, if he is an ideal mother, she bestows her attention equally upon everybody. Not only that, a mother pays more attention to a sick child rather than to a healthy child. Why does she do it? Not because her love for the sick child is greater than for the healthy child. No. She wants to make the sick child healthy so that he requires less attention. Similarly, when we are doing sadhana, it requires tremendous amount of effort to become unselfish. But selfishness is so natural, we can just let ourselves go. Like climbing down a hill, with great speed we can fall down. But to climb up, it requires tremendous energy, effort, persistence, willpower, and above all, complete faith. If I can reach the top, then my joy will be proportionate, unequaled. That kind of thing should be there. So this is the plain translation of the verses, the mantra just I started. There are many mantras are there. In fact, there are 28 mantras are there. So I am not going to recite them because neither I remember them nor you remember them. It's not necessary. We want to come to the gist of this third section, because we have already seen the gist of the first section is that you must strive to become the universal by giving up the individual. The second is Agni Upasana, and taking that as a cue, there is this universe and it is called an effect. Every effect must have a cause, and the final ultimate cause is Brahman. That's why the same idea is expressed in Pithika language, as Swami Vivekananda says, you are Brahman. Instead of saying that, he said each soul is potentially divine. Why? Because we are divine in the eyes of God. A mother knows, these are my children. But then we have to recognize, this is my mother and she loves us. We have come from her. We must identify with her. That is called getting rid of the debt. That is, if I consider my own parents as myself, just as instinctively, unthinkingly, we all do serving ourselves. We do the same thing when we identify with our parents, and that process should not stop there. It should extend to the entire creation. That is called spiritual progress. Now, let me first read out the translation, then a little bit of explanation. There were two classes of Prajapati sons. Prajapati here means Saguna Brahma. Why Saguna Brahma? Because according to Vedanta, Advaita Vedanta, that we cannot talk about Srishti from Brahman. Even though we are using that word, finally it is Brahman. But really, the visible Brahman is called Saguna Brahma, Brahman with attributes. And just as we can see our parents, our grandparents, beyond that we cannot see. So it is Saguna Brahma alone we know. So Prajapati means Saguna Brahma, Hiranyagarbha, Virat, whatever name you choose, it doesn't matter. So Prajapati had two types of children, sons, the gods, the devas, and the demons, asuras, naturally. So beautifully the Upanishad recognizes the gods were only few, but the demons are many. And then what is the problem? It is a fight between the good and the evil. What is life? It is a fight between the good and the evil, the life and death, the happiness and unhappiness. Everything is a yuddha, Kurukshetra yuddha, between the good and evil. Until we cross over the maya, it is Kurukshetra war between the selfish and the unselfish. And ultimately, the unselfishness, satyameva jayate. And then our struggle will be over, like Vidya Maya has to conquer the Avidya Maya. And as soon as we become identified with Vidya Maya, right knowledge, we know who we are. And all struggles end because there is no evil at all. Until that time, the perceived evil, thinking it as real, that is the real Maya. So there were two classes of Prajapati's son, the gods and the demons. Naturally, the gods were very few. That means the unselfish people are very few. That means the spiritual people are very few. And then the others are many. And then it is they struggled with one another for mastery of these worlds. What does a selfish person want? I want the master of the whole world as much as possible. What does the unselfish person says? That there is no need for any fight because I am everything. Now, you remember this story of Sri Ramakrishna when his disciples forced him to pray to the Divine Mother, let a little food go inside. Food gives energy. Energy gives the strength to struggle with the disease. Maybe he could even overcome it, even though Sri Ramakrishna knew it. But to teach his disciples a lesson, he went into Samadhi. After some time, he came back and said, you see, I am ashamed to tell you, when I prayed, let a little bit food go through this, my mother showed me that, are you not eating through all these mouths? And that is how a spiritually advanced person, like the loving mother, even if she is deprived of good things, her happiness will be hundredfold when she watches joyfully how her children are enjoying. Supposing a mother had cooked a dish, just imagine the quantity is very less, but it has come out extraordinarily tasty. And her children were asking again and again, give me a second time, give me a third time. And the mother's joy was increasing because the children are enjoying so much. It is rarely that the children appreciate their mother's cooking. So anyway, this is the example. Every unselfish person derives tremendous joy. So now we have to understand higher joy and unselfishness are one and the same. And more suffering and selfishness are the same. If by God's grace we can understand it, we would have advanced in spiritual life a great lot. So naturally, the demons are more powerful. That means by nature we are more selfish. Therefore, being overwhelmed by the demons, the God said, well, let us overcome the demons at the sacrifice called Jyotishtoma by means of singing praises of God called Udgita. Udgita. Gita means to sing. Ud means loudly. Let us loudly chant. So this third section, consisting of 28 verses, describes the origin of the gods and demons. Both are called children of Prajapati because we are all children of the same Brahman, Saguna Brahma, and his organs. When the organs, that is to say, our five sense organs of knowledge, five organs of action, and the mind, these are the 11, act in a righteous manner, they are called gods. When they act in the opposite manner, they are called demons. According to the another Upanishad, which we also covered, Aitareya Upanishad, Prajapati first projected out of himself the various physical planes. Next, wishing to create their protectors or guardians, he created from the five elements the cosmic person Virat in the shape of an egg. Soon after, the different organs separated out of the egg. A tremendous description of the Srishti has started, but I don't want to go into that. The main essence of this section is how we can really understand the essence of this third section. So what happened? These organs. So they started fighting. There is a small story invented by the Upanishad and it is a marvelous story, very well known. So let me narrate it to you in as simple a manner as possible. So there was this unforeseen, what is called invisible fight always between selfishness and unselfishness, which is indicated by fight between the Devas and the Asuras. That is why the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is very aptly named as Daiva Asura Sampat. Sampat means treasure, wealth of both the gods and the demons. Starting first with the treasure of the gods, Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga Vyavastiti Danam Damascha Yajnascha Swadhyayastapa Arjavam, etc. Wonderful qualities have been described. Please go back to my explanation of the 16th chapter, which is available online. So these organs, they are really inert. But then consciousness first reflects in the mind, and these organs borrow that consciousness from the mind. Or in other words, it is the mind alone which, after borrowing the reflected consciousness called Chidabhasa, as if I am consciousness, it feels. And it divides itself into 10 parts. 5 organs of input, knowledge. 5 organs of output. Whenever we get knowledge, we require also how to use that knowledge. That's why somebody creates a tremendous wave of AI, artificial intelligence. And immediately, there will be people how to put to use, and they post their understanding on the YouTube. They say, you want to create an image, you want to rewrite your writings, you want to correct your essays, you want to transcribe your talks, etc., etc. Plenty of the uses, prediction of the future, financial status, even some, how to aid to the doctors. All these are what we are seeing now is absolutely nothing what is to come. I can tell you within the next year or two, every PC will be equipped with the tremendous power of this AI by which you yourself can understand a lot of things. Things are made very easy by that. Anyway, so here the story goes that both the Devas and the Asuras, demons, gods and the demons want to control. So the, as mentioned earlier, the gods are very few and they are weak. And the demons are plenty, united. That is the beauty of it. These fellows, these gods, go on quarreling with each other. They cannot tolerate each other. But the demons, they understand the psychology very well. So, divided, we will be defeated. United, we can defeat anybody, anything. So, like some religions, whether it is rational, irrational, they become united. Now coming back, so the devas wanted victory. What is their strategy? That there are certain mantras. If we can chant them together, that is called Udgita, then we can get sufficient strength to overcome these demons. So, but the organs, as I just now said, they cannot unite. They started quarreling. The eye, the ear, the nose, nostril, and the skin, and the tongue, five organs of knowledge, they can never unite. So then, said, I am great, I am great, I am great. How do you know you are great? He says, so they decided on a test. What is the test? So one organ takes leave for 1 year, goes away from this body, and if the life goes on as usual, that means that organ is not important. But without that organ, life becomes impossible. So that organ is really the most important organ. So the eye, it said, without, let me see how you can live without me. So it went, took leave, and gleefully thinking within itself, without me nobody can see, and they fall victim. And it was shocked after returning after 1 year that life was going on very well. Quite well. Then it asked, how could you live without me? Then they all said, yes, there was some defect was there. So we could not be as effective as when you were here. But then with some small inconvenience, there are blind people and they are living quite well. Some of them have extraordinarily great talents. Singers, players, writers, poets, of course, saints also, like Suradasa. So anyway, life is going on. So the story goes, then the ears went out, Shrotraindriya. First Netraindriya, then Shrotraindriya, the ears. Same story. How did you live without me? Well, it was a bit inconvenient, but then we have found out other ways to come up, to live happily. And then finally, the time of the prana has come. Mukhya prana. So that prana says, I am important. Oh, let us see. When it was about to take leave, as if huge trees were being uprooted to the very last bit of that with which it was sticking, then they understood. Without prana, the eye cannot function, ears cannot function, tongue cannot function, nostrils cannot function, skin cannot function. A dead body cannot function at all. Prana is most important. So this is the story. And then that is why prana, devata. Without prana, creation is meaningless. Who is to recognize there is a creation? Who is to take classes? Who is to listen to classes? Who is to strive? Who is even to understand whether I am selfish or unselfish? Without prana, the buddhi, the intellect, power of understanding, that nothing functions. So, pranopasana. Prana is Brahman. Brahman is pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is manifesting in the form of prana, lending itself to the entire personality. And that personality's main part is the mind. And this prana, it reflects in that mind in the form of chidabhasa. It is the prana only, consciousness as prana, prana as this, chidabhasa. Chidabhasa, then the mind thinks, I am. The very existence of the mind and the existence of every other organ is deeply related to this. This is why pranopasana is so very important. And there are few very interesting points are there. We will talk about them in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Moho. May the Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.